welcome to the meditation of the precious Word of God again. We read a verse that is found in a very obscure scripture. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. And Jabez was more honored than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him with pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest richly bless me, and enlarge my border, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God brought about what he had requested. We would like to speak on the blessings of sorrow from this text, which is found in one of the most uninteresting portions of the Word of God. For if you have ever read the first few chapters of the book of 1 Chronicles, you have the genealogies of the children of Israel recorded. A most monotonous reading, but with the brilliancy and the beauty of a rare and precious jewel that is set in the midst of drab and dreary surroundings, shines the testimony of a man in these scriptures by the name of Jabez. For buried in that monotonous reading of the genealogies of Israel, the Spirit of God has planted a very rare treasure of truth and of blessing for the diligent student of the Word of God, recording the testimony of a man whom God honored above all his brethren. The extreme, or the possible painful travail experienced by his mother, or it may have been some other domestic tragedy attending his birth, caused his mother to name him Jabez. And the word means sorrowful, or causing pain. Now that was an unfortunate name to be given to a baby for life, and that by his own mother. How often he must have desired to change it, to avoid the embarrassment and the discouraging situations that he must meet. Yet he retains the name, and he becomes one whom God honors above all others. Now why? The answer is this. Jabez, through God, was able to turn his deepest trial into his greatest blessing. And it is recorded so that you and I may know that our God is able to turn our sorrows into great blessings for us. Now let us learn this from the lesson, and let us do it prayerfully. First of all, we have this fact, that we must and can learn. God uses sorrow to draw us nearer to himself. What we read concerning Jabez is this. He called on the God of Israel. This man may have turned to human comfort without results, but he succeeds in finding his need met by the God of Israel. God never fails. The sorrows of life are permitted into our experiences and may even be sent by God to compel us to turn to himself. The weight and tragedy of sorrow has often been God's instrument to cause souls to turn to Christ for salvation. Also, the darkest experiences of a believer have been the divine manner by which the heart has been drawn closer to God. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 107 and verse 26, their soul is melted because of trouble. Oh, thank God. God uses sorrow to draw us nearer to himself. My beloved radio friend, call upon God without delay in every time of sorrow. Then a second lesson can be learned from this man's history, so briefly recorded. God uses sorrow to bless us. Note the first petition that Jabez makes to God, and it's this. Oh, that thou wouldest richly bless me. Now the unsaved, the natural man, would say, there's no blessing in sorrow. But that's not the language of a believer, the spiritual man. The quaint suggestion of an old writer is worthy of earnest consideration, who said that sorrow can lead us into one of four lands. First, he declares there is the barren land in which we try to escape from the sorrow. Second, there is the broken land in which we sink under the sorrow. Third, there is the bitter land in which we resent the sorrow. And fourth, there is the better land in which we bear the sorrow and trial. And while bearing it, we become a blessing to others. Now this last is the choice of the spiritual man. And may I say, my fellow believer, every trial holds rich blessing. For God says in his word, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them that are exercised thereby. Hebrews 12 and verse 11. Well are the words of the poet saying, after the storm there will remain the brightest fruit on the bough. The peaceable fruit for your hands to pluck, whatever your sorrow now, whatever your suffering, O my friend, whatever the load you bear. After the storm, the golden fruit of the land will be waiting there. Now third, in the prayer of Jabez, God uses sorrow to increase our usefulness. Enlarge my border, pray Jabez. There is the possibility that the family inheritance in Israel had become either restricted or lost. But recovery and enlargement are within the power of God. Sorrow is not a hindrance to our usefulness, but rather in God's hand, sorrow can be the source of greater usefulness and enlargement. David said in Psalm 4 and verse 1, thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Thus Jabez rested on the God of Israel's power and God's grace to enlarge his coast, producing greater possessions for him, even through his sorrows. Oh, read of the description that Isaiah writes of the Messiah, the suffering Savior, where in Isaiah 53 the supreme title is given to him, the Man of Sorrows. And as you follow that crucifixion chapter through, and go into chapter 54, you will hear God saying, single barren, thou that didst not bear, enlarge the place of thy tent, stretch forth the curtains of thy habitation, lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. O my beloved, God enlarges our borders through the medium of testing and sorrow. A fourth lesson in this story of Jabez, God uses sorrow to reveal his comforting presence. For in the prayer of Jabez was this request, and that thine hand might be with me. Blessed comfort was the hand of God in his trial. Sorrow can magnify the comforting presence of God. Is he not called the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation? In 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Did not our Savior also promise in John 14, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may be abide with you forever. The hand is a blessed type of the Holy Spirit, and a blessed comforter he is. Oh, was not the presence of the Son of God in the fiery furnace a wonderful reality to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those Hebrew lads whom Nebuchadnezzar threw into the furnace of fire? And did not that, the presence of the Son of God, make the experience their greatest experience in life? What child of God will deny that in the valley of the shadow we find the glorious reality of the words of the shepherd's psalm, thou art with me. And as Jabez, so we may find that sorrow's blessing reveals the nearness, the glory of his presence. Fifth, God use us sorrow that we may hate evil. For in the prayer of Jabez are these words, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Could it possibly be that some dark evil had been responsible for the sorrows of his life and of his mother? Whether or not, the situation causes a deep, fervent prayer from his heart, asking God to keep evil out of his testimony. Has evil ever overshadowed your path and mine at any time, with its inevitable retribution of testing and sorrow? My beloved believer, take heart. Learn that by God's grace, through the sorrow that we may have reaped, we can abominate what we know God hates in us and around us, and that is evil. This was David's prayer, as he saw evil men and the evil of his day, and that prayer should be yours and mine, as he prayed it in Psalm 139, 23, and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any way of pain or grief in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. God uses sorrow that we may hate evil. Last of all, God uses sorrow to prove that prayer changes things. So note the end of this account. For we read that God brought about that which he requested. God granted him that which he asked. This is the grand consummation of the record. God did it. He kept his promise as he gave it to the psalmist. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. Psalm 50 and verse 15. All let us love and adore him. For God alone is able to change our deepest sorrow into our greatest blessing. The saint B.F.B. Meyer once wrote, sorrow is a garden, the trees of which are laden with the peaceable fruits of righteousness. Do not leave it without bringing them with you. Sorrow is a school with lessons which will make you wise forever. Do not trifle away your chance of graduating there. Oh, beloved, let us learn through the prayer and life of Jabez that God can bless us in our sorrows. Thank God for the blessings of sorrow. Father, we pray thy blessing upon the spoken word to every sorrowful heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Message on the blessings of quietness. Beloved radio friends, we greet you again in the precious and worthy name of the Lord Jesus and welcome you to the continued ministry of the precious Word of God. We have a subject for our message today that is entitled The Blessings of Quietness. Our text is taken from Psalm 46 and the words that are found in the 10th verse. Be still and know that I am God. These words are found in a prophetical psalm, and these words shall soon be heard by all the nations of the earth. And in the midst of the worldwide convulsions of strife and hatred, of bloodshed and war, the words will be uttered by the Son of God. Be still and know that I am God. They will be uttered when the powers of evil, energized by the satanic trinity of the great dragon and the beast and the false prophet, according to Revelation 13, when they will be manifesting their final rebellion at the end of this age, a rebellion that will be against the Lord God and his anointed Son. It will be then that the mighty God and Lord of glory in the power of his majesty will appear from heaven and descend to the earth. When he comes, it will be the inevitable destruction and the judgment of this godless world. And may I solemnly and very seriously state, not one ungodly person will be spared, according to the word of God. But above all the carnage and the strife of that day, will be heard the voice of God's great King, our Lord Jesus Christ, commanding all the earth and saying, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted above the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The result will be conclusive, as we have it in the same psalm in the 6th verse. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. It will be a day of complete defeat for Satan and for the ungodly nations, but one of victory for the godly remnant of Israel and for the church and for all the saved from among the nations. The glorious reign of Christ will commence when his chosen people shall be gathered around their king, and the world throne of his dominion will be established, and all nations will bow at his feet. May this day soon come, and we believe, surely the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. But we would turn from this prophetic application and learn some practical lessons for our Christian experience in the daily path today. The peaceful reign of quietness should speak to our hearts of a present truth that should be known and enjoyed by the believers particularly in the midst of a world of perplexity and distress. First of all, God himself can be known in quietness. Be still and know that I am God. Comparatively speaking, God is little known today in this materially minded world. One has stated, there was a time when the living God was a reality to men. Then he became merely an influence. And now, he is but an imagination. Is not this statement so sadly true? But yet, among the human race, God's children should be taking time to know him in the quietness of his presence and through the words of his precious book. A noted servant of God wrote, to know this mighty being, as far as he may be known, is the noblest aim of human understanding. And in this accelerated age, it is an imperative necessity that believers should resolutely refuse to permit the encroachment of other things to rob them of the time required for meditation and study of the Word of God and prayer. My beloved fellow believer, may you and I faithfully seek to be still and get in the quietness of God's presence and before his precious Word and know God. Then a second fact could be stated. God's deliverance is found in quietness. The problems, the difficulties, and the dangers of life, they constantly appear. The Red Sea experiences, similar in character Israel's, may show to us even no visible way of escape. Listen to the words of Moses as he spoke them at the edge of the Red Sea to the people of Israel. Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. In such circumstances of difficulty and perplexity, the obvious lesson is to learn quietness, knowing, as Moses said of old, the Lord shall fight for you and you shall hold your peace. To do nothing and say nothing is a very difficult lesson for you and me to learn. The flesh would rather fight and complain, but Moses said in effect, hold your peace, or keep quiet. Let the Lord fight for you. This is somewhat plain talk, but what we sometimes and perhaps often need. Take another lesson from the life of Jehoshaphat. You find the story in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Read the chapter through, and you will learn that in quietness and in prayer before the Lord, a great deliverance was accomplished without the use of one earthly instrument of warfare by God's people. There are occasions that the deliverance we need must come in this way, and for God's glory, as well as for our great joy. It's the first thing we can follow out in this study of quietness. Strength as well as confidence can be found in quietness. Long ago, God said to Israel at a time of trouble, at a time when they were indeed besieged by their adversaries and controlled by their enemies. And here are the words in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 15. To Israel, God said, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. And ye would not. Israel, unfortunately, as the context reveals, rejected this counsel and they suffered tragic consequences. Israel depended upon the swift horses of the Egyptian allies, but it was all in vain. God said, their strength is to sit still. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 7. May I quote those words again? Their strength is to sit still. How many of us learn the strength that these words imply? But Israel said, no, we will flee upon horses. For how many times we are disposed to display our own wisdom in grappling with our troubles, when our safety may lie in waiting only upon God. God said, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. Listen to the words of Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. The secret of tranquility is to rest in the Lord, which will produce confidence and give strength within for our hearts. May we, like the psalmist, say, my soul wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. And then another thing about quietness. The guidance of God is learned in quietness. Twas the psalmist who wrote the Pearl of Psalms, which we know so well. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. How frequently we need guidance in life's intricate pathway, but we should find it in the retreat to the green pastures of the Word of God, and in the quietness of the still waters of his presence, where he can speak directly to our hearts. It is there in the quietness of his presence, and in the pages of his precious word, we can hear the shepherd's voice, and can be led by his spirit aright. May we determine to take time from the frantic pace of modern living to have the blessing of quietness in his presence. My beloved radio friend, how much we need it. The world moves very rapidly. The pace of life is terrific. How we miss and rob ourselves of the blessings of quietness. But may I say, last of all, the Lord Jesus Christ knew the blessings of quietness. A greater life of human activity could not be found than the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet in the midst of that life, he devoted time to be in the presence of God. Here are the words prophetically written about him in Isaiah 50 and verse 4. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ears. To hear is the learned, prophesied Isaiah of Christ. And it is written in Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. If Christ needed this in his human path, how much more do we? There were occasions when he spent all night in prayer, as is recorded in the Gospel of Luke. He went out into the mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer to God to solve the problem which he faced. Oh, my beloved, we need the blessings of quietness. May God the Holy Spirit enable us to learn these blessings by daily practicing the enjoyment of God's presence, and we too shall have that inward peace and joy that will be maintaining a close fellowship with God. Let us say daily and hear the Lord say to us, be still and know that I'm God. Father, bless these sacred thoughts to the hearts of all thy people in the Savior's name. Amen.